Global. I'm working under the assumption that most of you are probably not familiar with it as an organization. We are a Canadian-based organization, so if you're willing to work past that hurdle, I think you'll be happy with what we do. But let's just start at the beginning and give you some information about who we are and what we do. And I feel like I'm cutting out a little bit. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay, let me know if you can't, then I can speak louder naturally. CH Global has been working since 1991 to meet the needs of the children with exceptional needs, be they physical or mental disabilities. So a lot of the countries where we are working, there aren't services for people with special needs. Either the government does not have assistance programs like we do here, or the families with loved ones with special needs simply don't have the training or the understanding to know how to support their loved ones. So we've been going into these countries. We're now serving in 12 different countries around the world and providing training for the families. We're providing opportunities for these children to attend school where before they were not able to, career opportunities for adults with special needs, and that sort of thing. Now, as we've entered countries like Haiti, the definition of exceptional needs has expanded a little bit. The exceptional need in Haiti, by and large, is poverty. We do have individuals with mental and physical disabilities as well who we've been working with. You mean to speak louder? Okay. But by and large, the people who we're ministering to simply do not have the resources that they need to get by day to day. They don't have access to nutritional food, educational opportunities, career opportunities, what have you. So that's become an exceptional need in Haiti, and that's what we've been focusing on primarily. What makes CH Global unique is really this emphasis on exceptional needs, serving individuals with our disability services, our access to education, children's services, and microloans. And we will talk more in detail about all of these things. But to my knowledge, there aren't really very many organizations going around the world and servicing individuals with these exceptional needs. That's what makes us a little bit unique. I am here today to speak to you primarily about Haiti. That's my focus group. We're working in 12 different countries around the world, as I mentioned, but my focus is really Haiti. And I know that Haiti is a country that's on everyone's heart right now. Ever since January, we're all very much tuned into what's going on, the relief process after the earthquake of getting people food and tents and water. That sort of thing was taking place. And now we're in the development stage. We've moved beyond relief. People have their tents. They have access to food. But we don't want to stay there, or else the people in Haiti will never have the opportunity to take ownership of their own restoration process and their own development. So that's really where CH Global comes in. We don't handle the relief part of aid work. We're really focused on restoring the communities that once existed and then providing the individuals with the tools, the resources, and the skills that they need to develop their communities beyond what they've ever been. Our response to the situation in Haiti takes this following form, and this is going to be the model that we work through today. We're going to touch on each of these points so that you can know more about what we're doing. But it starts with our partnership with Global Ministries and the UB Church. That allows us to start schools inside of already existing United Brethren churches. After those schools have opened up, we ask American and Canadian churches to consider sponsoring children so that they can attend these schools, have the resources that they need to provide educational materials and whatnot that are required. There are Saturday programs taking place inside of the schools that we've opened, and we'll talk about those in more detail also. At those Saturday programs, we present information about microloans, and then the microloans are sold. The products that result from the microloans are sold through an organization called Nationware. So we're going to talk about each of these things in more detail. The church partnership with Global Ministries has been an incredible opportunity. It's really neat to see when God works to bring two organizations together that just fit together like a puzzle piece, and their ministries complement each other, and it's mutually beneficial. It's a blessing to be part of that sort of arrangement, and that's really what's been going on with Global Ministries. What Global Ministries brings to the table, if you will, are the following things. They have United Brethren churches already in Haiti. They've been there for several years. They have relationships with the people of those communities. They've built up a rapport and trust. They have cultural understanding because they've been there long term. So they know how to do ministry to their own people in a way that makes sense, that is communicated effectively. CH Global has the programming. We've been doing this sort of thing in 12 different countries for 19 years. So we understand the program. We have experience doing children's services and community development. And we have the personnel, people like myself, who can come to churches in Canada and the United States to promote what's going on and raise the support. As a result of this partnership, the kingdom of God is being spread in communities in Haiti. We're going to see how that's happening, but it's really just an incredible opportunity for these two organizations to come together and do God's work. As was mentioned on the video, there are three schools so far this year that have been opened in Haiti inside of already existing United Brethren churches. This is the latest one that actually is opening in October of this year. I think it just opened last week. This church was flattened by the earthquake, and so through the partnership with Global Ministries and CH Global, we were able to rebuild the church, and now it's opened up, and children are starting to attend through sponsorship funds that are coming in. And I love the name of this school. They called it the Good Seed School, because that's really what we see the children of that school as being. They're good seeds, and we're endeavoring to plant them in fertile soil and praying that they'll grow and they'll flourish. So it's really, really awesome thing that's happening. Not one of the other schools that has opened up has actually started to serve as a compound for individuals to live in so they can get out of the tent city, stay within the safe walls, and have a more secure environment. Within the tent city, as I'm sure you know, there's no water, there's no sanitation service, there's no law enforcement taking place. It's just chaos. Just really become a destitute slum situation. So we're endeavoring to get people out of there and just get them back into the church and surrounded by a community that can love on them and provide for their needs. So that's another function that the schools are fulfilling. Sponsorships, as you heard on the video, are $36 per month, and we're going to talk about where that money goes specifically. We are very intentional about how every one of those dollars is spent, and I'm happy to answer more questions about that, but we'll just talk here beforehand about what that provides. Sponsorships provide the opportunity for education. So through a sponsorship, a child is able to afford school supplies, a school uniform if that's required at the school, paper, all those sorts of things. We provide medical care, nutritional food so that the child can pay attention in school, be able to retain what he or she is learning because they've been well fed and obviously just flourish health-wise also. They're presented with the gospel message, and then we have staff in place that can disciple them as they grow to develop future leaders for Haiti who are depending on the love of Christ. Here's a little chart that kind of shows how the money is spent, and I have to give you a little disclaimer. This chart is not completely up to date. We'll talk in more detail later about the microloan program, but the funds for the microloan program come out of the sponsorship, but it's a trial program, so it's not on this graph here. But to summarize it for you, $6 of the $36 goes towards administration costs. We have an individual, a Haitian individual who lives in Haiti. She's the one that goes around and interviews families and goes to the different neighborhoods, finds children who qualify for the sponsorship program, writes their biography, sends pictures, makes sure that the money is received by those families, that sort of thing. So the $6 a month goes toward paying her. $10 a month is allocated toward a microenterprise fund. So the family of the sponsored child or the neighbors are encouraged to present a business plan to CH Global. It's a locally owned, locally managed business. They're provided with a microloan, and then they have a 10-month period during which to pay that back to CH Global. That's all part of the development process. If you take a child and pull them out of their natural environment and provide them with education and nutritional food and all of the good things that we want our children to have, and then place them back in a community that is still destitute, you really haven't done that child any favors. Unless he's able to get out of the country, you really haven't benefited the community at all. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to pull children into an isolated environment and then not actually offer them any real hope. So our goal is to develop the community while the children are being provided with the education and the resources that they need to continue that development, to continue benefiting their community. The other $20 goes directly to the child to provide for the things that I mentioned in the last slide. So educational materials, nutritional food, health care, and spiritual development. That's the breakdown. And again, if you have more questions, I'm happy to answer them for you. What makes our sponsorships unique is that balance between community development and the child sponsorship. So a lot of different organizations that you can go through focus primarily on one or the other. Some sponsorships, all of the money goes toward the child, and other sponsorships, all of the money goes toward the community. And there are benefits to both, obviously, but we really consider it important to have the balance between the two because of the need to have that holistic approach so the child has a community in which to invest after he or she has gone through the educational process. Within the schools that have opened so far in the United Brethren churches, once a month we have a Saturday program. And this has been a really unique opportunity. During the Saturday program, the children that are being sponsored and the families of the children that are being sponsored are invited to come into the church. We have games. We have a gospel message that's presented. We give them a meal. And we have an opportunity to present information about our microloan project. So this is the opportunity for the neighbors and the family members to learn about the resources that are available to them if they're interested in starting their own business. One of the most important functions of the Saturday program, though, is a church connection that's formed. So these families are brought in. The members of the church are also there, and they just form relationships. They have an opportunity to invite the family to come back to the church and come back to Christ, essentially, or build that relationship that they haven't had before. So it's been a really neat program. That takes place once a month. I'm not going to talk about it a lot, but I do have some more information back at the table if you're interested in learning more about how that's funded. That does not come out of the sponsorship money. It's a separate thing, but it works in conjunction with it, as you can see. So the children come into the school through the sponsorship program. The families are invited in through the Saturday program. It's really very holistic. Out of those $10 a month from the sponsorship programs, we have our microloan projects. And this is actually our president on the left-hand side that you can see here with one of our microloan recipients. As I mentioned, we encourage individuals from the communities where the children are being sponsored to present a business plan. It's of their own invention. It's often something very unique that we probably would never have thought of because we're not from Haiti. but it's culturally relevant and it's actually very interesting to see what sorts of ideas they come up with. But when their business plan is approved, they're provided with a microloan. Oftentimes, it's as small as $100, but that's what they need to get started, and they would never be able to fund that upfront investment on their own. They have 10 months to pay it back. So far in 2010, we've had 10 businesses open up, and not a single one has defaulted on its payments. And we're thrilled by that. They've just had incredible success. I should mention to you, we've been in Haiti not quite a year, so all of this is very new. We've been really pleased with the progress that's being made. The ownership of the business, of course, is local. But not only the ownership of the business, the individuals who own the business are also taking ownership of the development process, and that's what we need. If anything were to happen in Haiti, and heaven forbid we had to leave, we want them to be able to continue this process of development that has started. We want them to take responsibility and have the pride and the sense of accomplishment of knowing that they are the ones that restored their communities. It wasn't an outside effort. It was their own It was their own work that accomplished that task. So the goal is self-sufficiency in all of this. What we would love would be to be able to approach a sponsor and inform them that we no longer need the sponsorship because the parents are providing for their children on their own, and it's just not necessary for outside funds to fund that child education anymore. We would love to be able to tell you that. So that's the goal, providing the parents of these children with the tools that they need to provide for their own children, restoring dignity to them as they stand up on their own feet financially, essentially. So that's the goal. I have a couple examples here of some recipients of microloans. This is a woman who is the primary guardian for her 7 grandchildren. She provides for them exclusively. And she came up with her own business plan, and this is one of the examples that I think is just so unique. I never in a million years would have thought of this plan, but she received $100, and with that $100, she purchased 100 pounds of coal. And I don't know if you can see there on the ground, she has little buckets where she's divided out the coal, and she sells it at a 40% profit to the individuals in her community. She's been able to take out a second loan now and grow her business, and she's providing for the care of her 7 grandchildren all by herself because of this business, which, again, is innovative. It's culturally relevant. It's sustainable. It's nothing that we would have ever come up with, but she was given the opportunity to take ownership of it, and she has and is doing a great job. Another example you mentioned, my father mentioned in the video, there was a community outside of Port-au-Prince where 30 children were unable to attend the school that was there because there were no school uniforms available. It was a school that already existed, and they required school uniforms, but no one was making them, so they couldn't attend. So this individual and her husband took out a microloan. They purchased a sewing machine and the fabric that they needed, and they started making uniforms. What's really neat about this opportunity is part of her agreement with CH Global required that she take on apprentices. So she has 3 girls from the school who are apprenticing under her to become seamstresses also. So when they finish with the education process, they will have the opportunity for a career ahead of them. through this $100 loan that came out of the sponsorship program. So really, really neat things happening. Now, sometimes we have businesses that start up, and we have a lot of skilled individuals around the world who are doing great things, but the products that they make may not be marketable in their own community because their neighbors and community members simply don't have the resources to purchase them. For example, we have individuals who do beautiful weaving or leather work, but their neighbors don't have the money to purchase beautiful scarves. It just so happens that people in Canada and the United States love pretty things. So when individuals like that approach us with a business plan, we're able to sell their products through this organization called Nation Wears. So it's essentially a website, and I have the web address there, and we sell their products for them. What's unique about this is a lot of organizations that do this sort of thing around the world will acquire the products, bring them to the United States, sell them, and then send the money back. And in the meantime, the individual who's living in Haiti, for example, is out that money until the product sells. We're not comfortable with that arrangement. We don't think it's fair to the individuals who are struggling to make a start and struggling to support their families. So what CH Global does is actually buy the products up front. It's an investment on our part. We just, you know, we're out the money until the product sells, but at least the individual in Haiti has the money and they can continue growing their business. So we have to plan wisely how many things we buy and make sure that things are selling. Obviously, it's a bit of a little bit of work on our part, but it is an investment that we make and we think it's worthwhile. Again, the goals for this are self-sufficiency and the restoration of dignity. This is an opportunity for individuals to take ownership of their own development, to take responsibility for their own families, to not feel like the only reason their child has food on the table is because an American provided it, but because they worked to provide that food, and they can take pride in that, and they can regain the respect of their children through that process. So that's Nation Wears. Now, I do have, some of you have seen them already, I do have some bracelets back on the table made out of coffee beans as an example, and on the bracelet is a little tag for Nation Wears with the website, so you're more than welcome to go on there, and if you still have Christmas shopping to do, you can look for some unique gifts on there also. Now, I just want to... There's a lot of information, and we're going to talk about your response a little bit in a moment here, but I want to kind of summarize it for you and point out the cycle that takes place. We have this partnership with Global Ministries. It starts at the top. And then because of that partnership with Global Ministries, we can build schools inside of United Brethren Churches where we would not have relationships otherwise. If it weren't for Global Ministries, we probably would not be in Haiti because we would have to build schools from scratch, and it simply would not be feasible. So we open these schools inside of already existing churches. Churches in the United States and in Canada are sponsoring children to be able to attend those schools. Inside those schools, we have Saturday programs that are taking place where the families are being welcomed back into the church. They're learning about Jesus Christ. They're being presented with a microloan proposition. They're building relationships with members of the church. If they take us up on an offer about a microloan project, then they can open their own business, start providing for their own family, and if they aren't able to sell those products locally, we can sell them through Nation Wears. And the goal for self-sufficiency would mean that hopefully, eventually, we don't need to be in Haiti anymore, and we could start the process anew in a totally different community. So that's the cycle that we're going through. It's a lot of information. I was promised very delicious food during the fellowship time, so I don't want to cut into that. I have plenty of time to snack on it, so I'm moving kind of quickly. But if you have questions, I'm very happy to answer them for you afterwards. What is your response to all of this information? I would encourage you foremost to be praying for Haiti. Haiti is so much in need of prayer. The children of Haiti do not have hope. They have no hope. Many of them have lost parents, siblings, loved ones in the earthquake. They already lived in a devastating situation before, and now it's only become all the more tragic. So pray for the children of Haiti that they will rise to the opportunity that's presented to them by all of these relief organizations that are working there now in places. People like CH Global, pray that God's kingdom will spread. This is an opportunity for Haiti to rebuild itself from the ground up. They can start anew, and they can build it on a solid foundation this time if they want to, on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so pray that that would take place. Pray that the government would be healed. As I mentioned in the video, the government has been abusive for a very long time, and that's been the cause of a lot of the hardship and the poverty that's taking place, and that communities would be restored, that families would come together, that they would team together to take ownership of their restoration process, and that they would be able to rebuild not only what they had, but that they would be able to develop it beyond what it ever was. And then your potential response could be to take on a sponsorship. As we mentioned, the sponsorship is really the starting point for everything else that we do. It provides the funding for all of our other programming. We've been in Haiti for about a year, as I mentioned, and so far this chart is a couple weeks old. We actually have 107 sponsorships so far that we've raised in Haiti. Our goal by 2015 is 500. We're on a good track for that so far. We've been very pleased with the response that we've received. There are many more than 500 children in Haiti who need sponsorships. And hopefully some of those 100 will no longer need them by the time we reach 2015 because their families will be providing for them. But that's the goal. And we break it down a little higher than that. We really hope for about 10 sponsorships a month, knowing that some months will be better than others and hoping that we will at least reach 500 and maybe more. But that's the goal. So I would really encourage you to consider your part. Now, it's been an incredible opportunity for everybody, really, to learn about the situation in Haiti and to see a country that was already in horrible conditions be brought so low. And yet, when you watch the video like the one we just watched, it just moves me to see people in that church singing and praising and acknowledging that God is still good, even in the midst of so much destruction and so much difficulty. God is still good, and he's still faithful, and he's doing wonderful things. I've been very privileged to be part of what he's doing, and I would encourage you to accept the invitation to be part of it also. Thank you so much for your